Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We looked at this passage this morning. We're actually going to look at one verse of Scripture out of this passage, because then I want you to go to the Old Testament, and we're going to look at the book of Joshua, chapter 5 and chapter 6. This Wednesday night, we will have our Awana Award. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to preach Wednesday night message that I was planning on preaching. I want to finish it up tonight because I really think, not because I'm preaching it, but because it's the Word of God. And God really has rested my heart with something, and I really think it'd be encouragement to you and be a blessing to you, and I pray that it will. So Hebrews chapter 11, if you would, stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse 30, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. This morning we set up the thought of faith. What is faith? And we dealt with that. Hopefully you were able to be here and remember that faith, according to verse 1, it's substance, it's evidence. It literally is a realization that something, that what is under me will hold me, will support me. But it's also evidence, deep conviction that based on evidence, based on what Christ is and did and what he said he did, said he was, we can build our life upon it. We also established in verse 6 of the same passage that without faith, without it, it is impossible. And I hope you get a hold of that. It is impossible to please him. It's impossible to please Jesus Christ without walking by faith and trusting him. So with that, let's set up verse 30. The Bible says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Father, we love you. We pray your blessings now in the reading of your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Now turn with me as you're seated. Once you get seated, turn all the way back in the Old Testament to the book of Joshua, chapter 6. The book of Joshua, chapter 6. The title of tonight's message, as you can see on the screen, is simply Facing Your Jericho. Understanding of the story of Jericho in the Old Testament, really, When we dig into this and we try to grasp it and try to understand it, I really think God may use it to help a lot of us here tonight. Jericho in the Old Testament, of course, we know it was a literal fortified city. It was a city that was approximate size, that literally was 8 to 9 square acres, and that city was literally surrounded by a wall. It actually was surrounded by two walls. Two fortified walls, and it was a very intense, it was a magnificent form of defense. They estimate, scholars say, that the walls of Jericho were some 65 feet high. So it was a very, just huge, huge obstacle in the way of the nation of Israel. They also say that those walls were so magnificent, they were so huge, so large, and so wide that literally two chariots could ride side by side without falling off either side. So you can imagine this was a huge barrier facing the nation of Israel. Now, bringing us up to chapter 6 of the book of Joshua, Israel, the nation of Israel, has crossed the Jordan River. Joshua is now the commanding general. He's the man in charge. He has replaced Moses, who has died in the wilderness. He died. God did not allow him to even go into the promised land because of his disobedience. You know why? You know, here's a thought to think about. And I've often wondered why. I mean, all Moses did, you know, he didn't do what God said to do. He smote the rock in anger. And, you know, instead of speaking to it. And now what's the significance of that? The significance is this. The significance was, Moses lost his temper. He got angry. And here's another sermon, but I want you to think about something. He lost his temper. He got angry. It caused him to do something that God said otherwise. And as a result, God, who is a God of law, he's a God of order, And God allowed him to live with consequences. Ladies and gentlemen, oftentimes in our life, when we don't do what God tells us to do, God in his greatness, he often allows us to live with those consequences. Here's the biblical comparison of that statement. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So Moses wasn't able to go and enjoy the promised land, but Joshua was. Joshua has led them through the Jordan River, which is a magnificent story. I mean, Jordan at that point, that moment was overflowing its banks, but God in his grace and his mercy allowed them literally, and here's an amazing story, kids. God allowed the Israelites to walk across the bed of the Jordan as on dry ground. God parted the waters. They walked across, and they're now are in Canaan, the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan, you've heard me say many, many times, is a picture. It gives us a picture, just like the stories in the Bible. The stories in the Bible give us a picture of something. Canaan gives us a picture of the victorious Christian life. As a believer in Jesus, hear me, friend, hear me. As a believer in Jesus Christ, God Almighty, wants us to walk in victory as his child. He doesn't want us to be in bondage. He doesn't want us to get our lives, to get and face obstacles that we can't conquer in our life. You know, and also bear in mind that, yes, all sin is habit forming. And that's why we got to be careful when it comes to messing with sin and all that. But here's the nation of Israel. They've come into the land of Canaan. Jericho is going to be their first of several major conquests that they are going to experience in the land of Canaan. But it's an obstacle that absolutely is impenetrable. It's an obstacle that they cannot go over. It's an obstacle that they can't, you know, bury their head in the sand and say, well, you know, that really doesn't exist. No, it's an obstacle that they have to deal with. Now, having said that, when it comes to our lives, here's my question I ask for you tonight. What is your Jericho? What is it in your life that seems like an insurmountable task? It seems like you'll never get victory over. It seems like you'll never get over it. You'll never be able to penetrate through it. It just absolutely seems insurmountable. What is it? Is it maybe, I mean, we could list, and I've list in the last couple of services in this passage, I've list a few Jerichos. Sometimes, you know, our Jericho may be financial. Sometimes our Jericho may be marital. Sometimes our Jericho may be emotional. And I mean, and on and on and on and on and on you can go. Sometimes our Jericho maybe was like Moses. Maybe we have an anger problem and it just doesn't seem like we'll ever be able, to get over and defeat and by God's grace and mercy, allow that stronghold, that barrier to crumble in our lives. It seems impossible. But I want you to see some things that God did in the life of Joshua when he wanted him to face the Jericho. Verse 1 of chapter 6 says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. They literally were locked down, man. They were locked down like a prison. You're not getting in. You're not getting out. I mean, absolutely no one's getting in. And the Bible goes on and tells us in verse 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, now underline that word, see, very simple. But then notice what he says, I have given into thine hand Jericho. Now, as I've said to you, these Old Testament stories have tremendous application even in our lives. Without taking it out of context, we know that this is a literal story. We know that this was a literal account in the life of the nation of Israel. We also understand biblically and literally that this Jericho stood between them and the land of Canaan and God's intention of the land of Canaan in the life of the Israelites. This represented the victorious Christian life. This represented what God wanted for our lives. And I said to you before, but I hope you grasp this. God wants us as his children. Write this down. Don't ever forget this. God wants you and I as his children, beloved children. He wants us to walk in victory in our lives by his grace and mercy and power. Nothing has to entangle us. Nothing has to defeat us. Nothing has. You know, I know sometimes when we preach something like this, you know, people can think, well, yeah, but Pastor, you're not in my shoes. That may be true, but here's what I do know about the Christian life. We have several enemies of the Christian life. You do know that you have an enemy, right? You have a few of them. You have the world as your enemy. You have the flesh as your enemy. You have the devil as your enemy. And when you look at it like that, and if you were a pessimistic person, you could look at that and say, well, with so many enemies, there's no possible way that I could live for God and honor God and really be a dedicated child of God, serving him, and not really have to just, you know, be defeated by this world. No, friend. Understand this. Yes, we have a lot of enemies, but you need to be aware and understand that the salvation that you have in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, here's what he did on the cross through his death, burial, and resurrection. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. If Jesus defeated all those formidable foes for us, you and I can live through Christ and be victorious too as a believer in Jesus. You don't listen. You don't have to walk around with your head down and woe is me, pity me, I failed God again today. No, you can dust yourself off, ask God for forgiveness, and move forward, conquering more land for the Lord Jesus. Now, so let's dig into this passage. So, it's a very formidable foe. It's a very impenetrable foe. But the first thing Joshua needed to do, he needed to see it. That's what the word tells us. See, God says to him, see, Joshua, I have given Jericho into thine hand. Now, when you first see this and when you first look at this, what's the significance of this? The significance is this. The only way to truly be able to walk in victory is you first of all have to see your Jericho for what it is. It stands between you. And you fill in the blank what that is, but it stands between you and the victorious Christian life. God does not want you, God does not want you, God does not want me walking in defeat from this day forward. He doesn't want us to do that. Amen? He wants us to be victorious. May I remind you of the New Testament verse that says, we are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. We're not just a conqueror, we are a more than conqueror. I've had Christian people, and they mean well, but I've had them say things like this. Well, preacher, I'll never get victory over this. Listen, don't ever say that. Don't ever say that. Because literally what you're doing, you are underestimating the power of the blood of Jesus in your life. Do you realize right now, there is therefore now no condemnation in you? You're not condemned anymore if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. You've been born again, and the grace and the power and the mercy of God flows through your life. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us that God, through Christ, through his divine power, hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Literally, if you want to know how to live life, you'll find the power to do it in Jesus. If you want to know how to live a godly life, you'll only do it through the divine power that is found in Jesus. It won't be by you and I, you know, pulling ourselves up by the proverbial bootstrap spiritually and mustering up faith. No, friend, it'll be by walking in victory in Jesus when you understand who you are and whose you are. You belong to God. You're a child of the King. See, Joshua, you got to see it. You got to face it. You can't deny it's there. You got to deal with it. So many times people say, well, you know, my marriage, and my marriage will never be good. Well, what are you doing to make it good? Well, my marriage would be better. My, you know, my temper would be better if this, and my I would be better at this, and I wouldn't have this problem if this situation wasn't in my life. Listen, here's what I've learned about God. I can't blame anybody for my lack of spirituality. It's nobody's fault but my own. You understand that, right? You know, I mean, I've had pastors in my life. I could never blame a pastor for my lack of pursuing God. I couldn't blame them for that. That's a personal thing. Last I checked, we have a personal salvation in Jesus, right? The same Holy Spirit that lives in the believer who is walking in victory is the same Holy Spirit that lives in the believer that isn't walking in victory. What matters is how much have you yielded of yourself to the Holy Spirit of God? That's the question. That demands an answer. He wanted him to see something. I have given into thine hand Jericho, verse 2, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And then he's going to list for him. He's going to tell him how he's going to do it. And we'll talk more about that in another sermon. Verse 20, we know that the wall falls down flat. Hebrews 11:30 says, this all was as a result of faith. By faith. By faith, Hebrews says. We know that the walls of Jericho fell down. So, remember what faith was? It's substance, it's evidence. Without it, it's impossible to please God. How did they defeat Jericho? How did they defeat Jericho, class? By faith. How are you going to defeat Jericho in your life? By faith. But here's what's awesome. The powerful story in chapter 6 literally begins in chapter 5, verse 13. Turn back and look at this now. So we see some things about this Jericho. God wanted Joshua to see some things. He wanted him to understand that the key, one of the key things is you have to realize it's there. You have to acknowledge that your Jericho is there. You have to acknowledge it. Then you have to have a course of action on how you're going to deal with it. Are you just going to reason it away? Well, I just, you know, I'll never get to that. Don't let the devil lie to you. Moms, dads, men, women, children, don't let the devil lie to you. You can walk in victory in Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 5. I'm not going to keep you too long, but look at verse 13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him, with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua 5, verse 13. Boy, that's pretty amazing. That's pretty interesting. So here's Joshua. He's out, and he's looking at Jericho. And all of a sudden, a guy comes up, and he's literally opposite of him, and he's got a sword drawn out. And Joshua, he asked him a rather unique, just a simple question, but it is going to have a very unique response. If you're taking notes, I'll give you just one thing. Notice number one, notice we see in these verses in chapter 13, we have a meeting with the sovereign Savior. We have a meeting with the sovereign Savior. Notice what Joshua asked him. Art thou for us? Here's a man with a sword. Here's a man with a sword drawn. The only reason you would draw your sword is to go to war, right? Right? Unless you want to stab your brother in the eye. I mean, maybe something like that. But he's got a sword drawn out. And the Bible says, Joshua looks at him and says, hey, are you for us or for our adversary? And notice his answer. Notice this stranger's answer. Nay. Now, I don't know about you, but that that seems a little odd. He didn't really answer the question, did he? Are you for us? No response. Are you for our adversaries? No. Look at the rest of it. But, for verse 14, as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? The answer to Joshua's question, when he said nay, here's the scene. Now you have to realize this is Christ, all right? This is the Lord Jesus. He's and I'll show you why that is in just a moment. The answer to Joshua's question, when he answered no, here's the understanding of it. It was as if this man with this captain with the drawn sword was saying, Joshua, I didn't come to take sides. I've come to take over. And ladies and gentlemen, in our life as a believer, Jesus Christ, his power, he didn't come to take sides. He didn't come to contend with your Jericho. He came into your life to give you his power to be able to take over. Amen? To take it over. We give Satan too much credit. We're always blaming the devil for everything. You ever notice that? We blame the devil on everything. Oh, the devil made me do that. No, maybe it was just your pride. Maybe it was just your lack of humility, willing to humble yourself before God. Because you remember the Bible says in James, he resisteth, James 4:6, he resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Maybe the whole reason you're not able to walk in victory is because you have never acknowledged that there even is a Jericho in your life. And when people try to lovingly help you and say, hey man, I'm really concerned about you. You seem like you have a struggle in your life. And because of pride, we'll say, no, I'm fine. Everything's great. Rather than being open, honest, and vulnerable and saying, you know what? I need your prayers right now. I'm struggling right now. I've got a Jericho that I'm facing and it seems too high to go over. It seems absolutely impossible to go through. It seems absolutely impossible to conquer. But I know by faith, remember that? By faith, the just shall walk by faith. We live, we walk by faith. We understand that faith is not some mystical thing. It's a foundational thing in the life of every believer. And we walk by that. Listen, believer, that's how we live our lives, is by faith. And I'm just going to tell you something. It doesn't make sense to the world. The world doesn't understand that. The world can't understand that. Why? Because they don't have the Spirit of God like you and I have. They don't have him living in them. They don't have him directing their paths. They don't have him watching over them. They don't have the Holy Spirit teaching them the Word of God for their life. Do you not remember? Do you not understand that this book is a living book? Amen? It's alive. And it gives us, it's our guide, it's our compass, it's our map as we go through life. And the Lord Jesus, so he tells Joshua, no son, you need to understand, I didn't come to take sides with you, take sides with Jericho. I come to take over. And oh, by the way, I'm already on your side because I'm captain of the Lord's host. You're my children, you're my nation, and this is what's going to happen. That land I've already given to you. But there's a big difference between understanding what God's given us and living in what he gives us. We can run around all day talking about what a great God and Savior that we have in Jesus Christ. And he's a deliverer and he's a conquering king. And we can run around all day talking about how great he is in our lives. But man, you let a trial hit us or you let a Jericho come into our life and it shatters oftentimes because we walk by sight rather than faith. And it shatters our dreams. It shatters our hopes. But understand, friend, don't ever give hope as long as Jesus is on his throne. He's captain. Is he captain of your life? So he says to Joshua, I didn't come to take sides. Come to take over. So let's keep going. So he has a meeting. But notice the message. We've already noticed that. But then notice his mission here. Verse 14, he says, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And notice what Joshua does. Joshua now realizes he's in the company of the sovereign God. And the reason we know he knows this and he sees this is because of what he does, his response. And Joshua, verse 14, fell on his face to the earth and did worship. You want to defeat your Jericho? Fall on your face and worship your Lord. Amen? You're not going to defeat it in your own strength. Your marriage isn't going to be able to get better without the help of God. You say, I'll be able to straighten out. No, you better allow God, bring God into your marriage. Sincerely, get Him into your marriage. Seek His will and direction for your life. You say, yeah, but preacher, what happens if I married the wrong person? Okay, let me answer that. Since you're married to Him, they become the right person. God's for your marriage. Can I get a witness in this building? God's for your marriage. And God wants to work through your life, especially if you're the born again one and maybe your spouse isn't. God is calling you to live a godly life so that you then, your witness as a believer in Jesus, is a witness to your lost spouse. Amen? But often what we want to do is say, well, they're just lost and I'm saved. And well, yeah, but preacher, I was out of the will of God when I married him. Yeah, that may have been true. And listen, and I'm just going to go on record. Hear my heart. And on the authority of God's Bible, it is never God's will for a saved person to marry a lost person. We have bought into nonsense in this culture. My preacher used to say, if you marry a lost person, you're going to have the devil or your mother-in-law as your, or the devil as your father-in-law or your mother-in-law. You say, they don't have to be lost to have a devil as a mother-in-law. Some of you get that in a minute. It's never God's will. I do not believe in the garbage called missionary dating. Amen? You say, well, we can win them to Jesus. Well, here's an idea. Here's an idea. Young people, listen to me. I love you as your preacher. I'm going to save you. I promise you, if you'll listen to me as your preacher, I'll save you tons of heartache in your marriages. Rather than missionary dating, why not date them until God truly saves them if it's God's will that you date them? You say, I don't understand what that means. Okay, here's what that means. Don't date a lost person unless you're lost. I expect lost people to date lost people. But I don't expect, as a pastor, I don't expect saved people to date a lost person. It's not God's will. Now God may allow that as far as in His permissive will and allow you and give you the choice like He did in the Old Testament when they would say, give us a king, give us a king, give us a king, give us a king. And God finally gave them a king. Don't date a lost person. And by the way, let me just say this to you in the context of marriage. In the context of marriage. Marriage, a successful, healthy marriage, is hard enough when you both are born again. I can't imagine having a healthy marriage that honors God when one has God as their Savior and, oh, by the way, is going to heaven when they die, and the other one doesn't have Christ as their Savior and goes to hell when they die. So don't date a lost person. And parents and adults, you do well. You would do well to back your preacher on that statement. You'll help your kids if you will. Because may I remind you that every person, we can call it innocent. Oh, it's just innocent dating. Last I checked, every person you date is a potential husband or wife. Right? You say, that's just old-fashioned. We do well to get back to the old-fashionedness of Scripture in the context of relationship. Amen. Boy, it's quiet in here. Say, you're just beating a dead horse. Well, I got to park here for a minute. All right, let me beat a dead horse for another. God's got this on my heart, and I don't know why. You counsel them when they're in my office and I'm trying to hold their marriage together because they didn't listen and they married a heathen that was lost and on their way to hell. You try to counsel them. And you try to bring a foundation under them that was never there to begin with. God's for marriage. Last I checked in the Old Testament, God still hates divorce. He hates it. It is a blight on the church, the churches. It is a blight on our community. And ladies and gentlemen, we will be held accountable as a nation for what we've done with marriage. Thank you, Brother Stephen. It's the Bible. Here's another thought. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. I don't know why I got on that, but I felt I had to say it. But I care about them. They're my knight in shining armor. Yeah, and eventually that knight in shining armor will be a 300-pound couch that passes gas and burps. Amen. It's going to happen. Mark it down. Better out than in. Amen. Some of you are now just getting that. Dr. Oz says women do it just as much as men. Just so you're aware of that. You say, that's disgusting. Yes, it is. Joshua fell down on his face in verse 14 to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Remember the context? He's getting ready to face a Jericho. How do you prepare for a Jericho? You spend time with Jesus. I understand the teenage years. I've been a teenager. I've been a teenager who used to, I got to be careful. My wife's not in here though. Praise the Lord. I mean, you have to understand. I understand what it's like to be a teenager. I understand what it's like to, want to have a girlfriend. I understand what it's like to want to have, this person or that person. But thank God, I had godly people in my life that taught me what was best for my life. They taught me, wait on the Lord. God will bring somebody in your life. God will bring the one for you. And I'm glad I waited. Your Jericho, maybe your Jericho is marriage tonight because you didn't wait on God. You say, preacher, I didn't wait on God and I ran ahead of the Lord. So what do I do now? Here's what you do. You fall on your face and worship to the Lord and acknowledge in humble adoration that you are God's servant. Lord, what do you want me to do? Look at the rest of the verse. This is amazing. I'm done. I'll read the rest of the verse. What saith my Lord unto a servant? Latter part of verse 14. Verse 15. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, this is awesome. I'm telling you, I told Brother Stephen, God's wrestling with this. Said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot. For the place whereon thou standest, remember that, is holy. And Joshua did so. Let's fast forward. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. God told Joshua, see it. See Jericho. But God also said, Joshua, take your shoes off, son. Stay with me. I haven't lost my mind. Just stay engaged with me for a minute. Take your shoes off. Do you think possibly, let's tie Hebrews 11 and Joshua 5:15 together. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the sure foundation under my feet. It sustains me. It's evidence.
Stay with me, Joshua. Take your shoes off. Because where you're standing is holy. Believer, as you walk by faith, but Stephen, this is good, man. As you walk by faith, God will do amazing things in your life, but as you walk by faith, what you have under you is holy. You're walking on holy ground. We walk by faith, not by sight. He falls down and he worships. He acknowledges his total dependence on the Lord Jesus. There's many Jerichos out there. There's marital. There's emotional. There's teenage Jerichos. There's adult Jerichos. You know what to do this all well to do? Maybe tonight. Has it been a while? Has it been a while since you took your shoes off? I'm not talking about your literal shoes. I'm talking about spiritually. Has it been a while since you saw something, but you also... See, when Joshua would have taken his shoes off, he no longer saw something. He now engaged another sense. He now felt something. What he felt beneath him was special. Young people, I promise you, statistically, you don't stand a chance. Not to discourage you. But I don't always buy into statistics. I buy into the Word of God. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes adults, they give horrible advice. Horrible advice. Because it isn't biblical. It's based on emotion. It's based on feeling. It's based on, well, when I was a kid, moms and dads, I love you. But are you aware that some of the things that we did when we were a kid wasn't right, maybe? And it doesn't mean it's right now. You can build your life on Jesus. You can stand on Him. You can honor Him. You can do what He's called you to do. You can listen to His Word. You can seek Him with all of your heart. Acknowledge He's the Lord of your life. Give Him control, as Brother Ryan said. And live for Him. And God Almighty will do amazing things with your life. He will. He will. Last question. To the young people. Y'all like Emmanuel? Please say yes. What will Emmanuel Baptist be in 10 years if every member is like you? Parents, adults, what will this church be like if every member was like you? We got a choice to make. We can keep meddling with our sin. We can keep excusing our sin and say, well, it's just, you know, it's just an old habit. It's a simple habit. God's called you to a higher plane, man. God's called you to a higher life. It doesn't mean arrogance. It doesn't mean better than. It means you have been graced by the mercy of God. Now live like it. Take your shoes off every now and then and remember what you're standing on. And then go out, look at the wall, and do what God called you to do. And I promise you, those walls will crumble, brother, and Jesus will get the credit.
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harold's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.